David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I'm very excited because we have a very special guest today. We have Penny McGoey, and she is a certified marriage and relationship coach. And today, we're going to talk about choosing connection over crisis for couples. And this is a very important topic, and I think it really needs to be addressed in our society. So I'm very excited to have you, Penny, on the show. Can you tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this. I have been a relationship and marriage coach in several capacities for the last like 15, 20 years. But before that, I was also a award-winning wedding photographer. So I traveled internationally and photographed weddings. So I've been completely wrapped around love and marriage and all the things for a very long time. And I'm lucky. I've been married for 35 years to like the best man I've ever known in my life. And we are still doing this thing up here, as you can see in the background in the wild, snowy north in Alaska.
Wow. Go ahead.
So we have five children, 13 grandchildren. And
wow.
Yeah, it's an adventure.
I would never guess you have 13 grandchildren. You look so young for your age. Oh my goodness.
We started this when we were like 19. So,
That's about the time I met my husband. So I understand completely.
Exactly. Like now when somebody gets married when they're 19, we're like, are you crazy? And then I'm looking back, I'm like, oh, well, we did it, you know. We always joke that we grew up together, you know?
Yeah. Well, technically you did.
Yeah, exactly. We grew up while raising our children.
Right.
Maybe exactly. Not the ideal way to do things, but, you know, it worked.
It does work. Now, you talk about relationships and you talk about, you know, connection over crisis. Like, exactly, can you go into detail about what that really means?
Yeah. So I specialize in working with couples in midlife. And, you know, whenever you say the word midlife, the next word that comes to somebody's mind is what? Midlife crisis, right?
Yes.
Everybody, you know, there's that, it's like a punchline. It's a joke. It's like, you know, you have the visual of the, you know, salt and pepper haired gentleman driving the convertible sports car with the, you know, 20-year-old girl next to him, right? you know, it's such a stereotypical issue. And what I have found in working with couples is what an actual real heartbreak it is and a life-altering time of a person's life. And my husband and I were just talking about this last night. We were laying up in bed and we were just talking and I'm reading a book and this book was talking about, you know, the first half of our life is about acquisition. It's growth, right?
Yes.
We're acquiring education, a career, a relationship, children, our reputation, money, investment, right? It's all about growth.
Yes.
And then you hit this part of your life where that shifts. And it can feel like it's happening to you.
Right.
And I think that's where the crisis starts to come to play for both men and women. It's not just men, right?
Yes.
This is when our parents begin to age and pass.
Mm-hmm.
We start losing friends.
Yes.
We start watching friends battle chronic illness.
Mm-hmm.
We start watching our career wither or change. We start having to think about retirement. We're now having to plan our estates.
Yes.
You know, our children are leaving the nest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all of a sudden, rather than being in a season of growth and acquisition, we're now going into a season of release and for some people, it feels like loss.
Yeah.
And I think being able to retool what that looks like for people and help them make sense of it, and then to do it as a couple.
Right.
Because, you know, as you and I were talking about before the show, there's such a reality of going into this part of our life and then realizing you've lost touch with yourself, let alone your partner.
Right.
You know, you lose touch with yourself because you get so caught up in those roles that we play, right?
Yeah.
I'm a mom, you know, I'm a career woman, I'm a partner, and then you forget who you are, what matters to you, because you've changed, right? And so I think if couples can get to a place where they start to realize, okay, we're both in a process of growth and evolution still. It doesn't matter if it's going to look different than it did in the first part of our life. But let's embrace the fact that it is something different and we are going to grow together, figure it out for ourselves, and then figure it out together.
100%. I find I see a lot of couples that, women will start to change and then they'll start to wonder, who am I? What's my purpose? Because like you said, we all labelized, and that's what our society does. You're a mom, you're this, you're that. But when you take all the labels away, and you ask the person who you are, a lot of times at some point in their life, they don't know, because they're in that midlife crisis and the children are getting older, they're moving on, and your whole life is changing. And a lot of times people don't know what their true purpose in life is. They don't know who they are. And then they see, and then sometimes they see themselves changing and they realize, hey, I know I can finally fit into my own shoes now. I know what I want. I know who I am. And they start living life differently, because now they realize, after one point of their life is done, this is who I am, this is where I want to be. But then sometimes the spouse or the partner, doesn't understand this. And they remember that person sometimes as a younger person, how they were before, when they first met them, and they're looking and they're saying, this is not the person I married, or this is not the person I'm living with that I've been living with for the past 20 years, and you see the same thing with men too. And then you got the men, like you said, the stereotype, they want to go back to their younger days, and it's very hard for them to accept that they're getting older. So they try to revert their behaviors back to like the younger days. And that causes conflict too in the relationships.
And you know, we can't, there's so many different moving pieces to midlife, right? A primary one that we can't ignore, and it's not just something, you know, everybody's now getting really comfortable talking about menopause. You know, Oprah is talking about it, Drew Barrymore is talking about it. You know, we have Mel Gibson is talking about it. Everyone is starting to really get into this discussion about the realities of menopause because women weren't talking about it. They were just either telling jokes again, you know, I mean, there was just such a stereotype around what it was like when you stopped having a period. You know, all these horrible things happen, right? And now there's discussion. And you know, we're starting to understand that there's ways to help our bodies through this transition. There's things we can be eating, there's things we can be drinking, there's physical fitness. You know, we now understand, oh my God, how important is it that we maintain our lean muscle mass and hydration, and you know, that there is an option for hormone therapy. Well, on the other hand, the same exact thing, men don't want to talk about the changes in their hormones. You know, men don't like to talk about the fact their erections don't feel as vibrant and powerful as they once did, or, you know, that, you know, sustaining longer time lovemaking changes for them, or that the desire for it changes. There's a lot of embarrassment wrapped around that. And then you get into the other piece, which is like career and roles, right? For men, you know, predominantly, like they've been in an environment where performance and provision is their, that's how they show up in a masculine world, right? And when everything starts to shift and they're beginning to transition into a place of choosing retirement or potentially realizing what they'd chosen was not fulfilling, and do they continue down that path and, you know, let it be a soul-sucking thing for them where they just hide in some type of addiction or escapism, you know, which a lot of times midlife crisis is an escapism. It's How do I get the hell away from the life I've created that I don't like?
Right.
And anything to be a distraction from that because they don't feel comfortable to get into the place of making a large transition.
Right.
And, you know, for us as women, I remember for myself, coming up right about 30 years of marriage, I was getting close to 50 because we did start young. You know, we raised five children and had started to become grandparents. All of our kids had left, and we had to make a move because my husband was in the Coast Guard. And
Right.
so we had to make a move, and I had to move a six-figure business with me. And it was such a season of transition. I was moving away from a place where I felt safe and comfortable.
Right.
I had friends wrapped around me. We had a community. We had keys to the city. You know,
Yeah.
everything felt wonderful in our life. We
Right.
had my, I always tell Bill, you know, it was like having my Barbie dream house. I had the house I'd always wanted to have.
Yeah.
You know, we'd built a life and then we had to leave it and replant and restart.
Right.
And in that season of transition, I began to feel, I know, just a, I'm trying to find the right words for it. It's like a, I could see Bill, I could feel him, but I couldn't touch him. Like
Right.
there was just, we were missing each other somewhere because
Right.
my roles were shifting so much. It was creating a just a an ache and a sadness for
Yeah.
me. I missed, you know, having clients in and out my door constantly in my, you know, in my photography business. It was so booming. I missed having my kids in and out of my house all the time with grandchildren. I
Yeah.
missed, you know, I missed the familiarity of the life we'd created.
Right.
And my husband was getting ready to prepare for retirement. So he was going through his own, you know, situation. He was in the military, people saluting him all day. He had a role. Someone told him where to be, when to be there, what to wear,
Right.
you know. And now all of a sudden, there's all these options available. And
Right.
it began to create something that was polarizing for
Yeah.
us. And we didn't know really how to enter into that conversation with each other.
Right.
Because I think, you know, when you're in the middle of 52 card pickup in your own personal life,
Yes.
sometimes you don't know how to make of it and make sense of it for yourself, let alone then bring it to your partner to discuss it. Because you don't want to create unease. You don't want to create sadness or stress for your partner.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel like, oh gosh, I just got to figure this out myself first.
Right.
And I find that all of those pieces play together
Yeah.
in making kind of the perfect storm in midlife. And I'm with you. Like there is so much that is beautiful and positive about, you know, being a woman in my in the four in your 40s and 50s, right? You don't want to play games anymore. You know, you want real friends who are
Yes.
authentic and genuine. You have no time for the bullshit of, you know,
Yes.
conversation that just doesn't empower or build. You want
Right.
people in your life that believe in you. You want to be that kind of person who shows up for other people. You
Yes.
know your own limits more than you did when you were younger,
100%.
right? You know, hey, this is, I'm going to have to say no to this, right? Or,
Yes.
oh, this is a hell yes. We need to go here, right?
Yes.
So I think all of those things, it can be such an empowering, beautiful time.
Yeah.
But to deny that all these other things are happening, I think begins to cause division for people from themselves, from their own reality, but also ultimately in their relationship. And then it becomes this process of how
Right.
do I reconnect with me? How do
Yes.
I reconnect with my partner? Because
Right.
I do truly believe, like right now, my husband and I are living, I believe, our best marriage.
Yes.
You know, right now, where he and I are at, the level of authenticity and honesty that we have with each other is like nothing we had when we were in our 20s and 30s, even in our 40s.
Right.
So,
It's so true. It's
like
so
you said,
true.
you've been married for 30 years. What has this transition been like for you guys?
So, in the beginning, it was all, we were two naive people just learning about life, learning about relationships, and then, going through the ups and downs. And there were plenty of ups and downs in our relationship. And then, it was, a very supportive relationship. But then as we got older too, the stresses of life, learn how to cope when one person was stressed and one person was not. Me being, I'm completely opposite. I handle things differently than my husband. So I
Yes.
had to understand, when he was stressed, how to handle it, where I handle stress differently. And it was trying to come and balance, have a balance between the two so I could help him and he could help me. And sometimes it's very hard for a man to understand a woman's needs and for a woman to understand a man's needs because the masculinity and the femininity are different. We think differently, we react differently. We're not afraid to ask for directions where men are very masculine and they have to find their way even though they're lost for 6 hours. It's just, these silly little things that could frustrate a woman to death,
Right.
and then going through midlife crisis. And I went through perimenopause at 39. So I started early and I didn't even know what was happening in the beginning. But so many changes were occurring.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And I had to, and I could feel the changes from, from physical changes to mood changes. And I had to figure out a solution that was going to be good for me. And then trying to make him understand because, and then I started to notice changes in him. So he was going through a midlife crisis around because we're the same age. We're only a month in difference. So, he started going through midlife crisis. I noticed a personality change in him also. And so if I mentioned something, he'd get offended, and then sometimes he'd say something and I'd get offended, and it's like, because you have to have that understanding between the two. So once you understand where each person is coming from, why they're reacting and why they're doing the things they're doing, you could kind of start to work out, some solutions. And when you understand each other, you have more compassion for each other. It's when you don't understand what's going on, and they do go through, men go through that crisis of working out, trying to keep the muscles up, trying to get those young cars, hey, she looked at me, and like, I'm like, yeah, okay. And it's just, funny stuff. And it's just, learning how to understand each, that's why they wrote men are from, what was it? Men are from Venus or women are from Mars or vice versa, because it was just those two books, made bestsellers for the longest time because they explain the difference between male and female because there are so many differences. So we have to understand, and we have to understand that, change is coming and it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And one thing I liked about midlife crisis is I finally figured out who I was and what I stood for and what I wasn't going to stand for anymore, where I was more wishy-gushy in my younger years and a more of a people pleaser in my younger years. And when I got to a certain age, I knew exactly what I wanted. I knew exactly what I was entitled to, and I wasn't going to accept anything less or anything more. I knew exactly. I built a level of confidence up where I was, a very different than I was before. And that does it, that you can lose friends that way and gain a lot of good friends that way. So, it works in both directions. So there are many things that go on in midlife crisis.
Oh, absolutely. It's when you look at the way that a relationship starts, right? Relationships begin with this bang. There's intensity, there's passion. You don't have to work at connecting with each other. You don't have to try to remember to think about what somebody's going to want or need because it's all you think about, right? And you can't wait for sex. You can't wait for connection. You can't wait to know what someone thinks about something. Like you're hungry to know what matters to them, right? And there's a lot of hormones that get involved in that process, right? And it's meant and designed to quickly attach you, to make you bond and to create life together and to have a partnership, right? Over time, those hormones and those chemicals that flow in our bodies that created that intensity start to change and you
Yeah.
begin to get hormones with your longer term partner, somewhere usually they say between 1 and 2 years, your body will begin to create a different kind of hormone with your partner.
Right.
So when you're with your long-term partner, you get more of an oxytocin release, more like when
Right.
you were nursing your babies, right?
Yeah.
You nurse your baby, you get this bonding connection, this calming. That's what you begin to get when you're with each other because your body's now trying to create sustainability.
Yeah.
It's trying to create long-term stability
Yes.
and something you can rely on because, you know, evolutionary wise, right? We needed to have partners to survive
Yes.
and to create life and to raise families. And you couldn't have that same frenetic passion flowing all the time, or nothing would get done, right?
Exactly. 100%. Yes.
So when we start looking at those changes, a lot of times, if we can, number one, start to go, oh my God, all these things happening in our relationship and in our bodies and to us individually and as a couple are 100% normal.
Yes.
This isn't something we need to go, oh my God, there's something wrong with our relationship. We're growing apart. You know, I guess, you know, now that we're raising the kids, how many couples have you watched go, oh, we're just gonna, this isn't working. We're growing apart. We'll stick it out till the kids leave.
Right. Oh, so
So
many.
many. Oh my gosh.
I think
So
that's the
many people are,
worst thing too.
oh my God, it's the worst thing. If you're not supposed to be together, don't be together. Don't think you're doing your kids a favor by sticking it out and being miserable. That is a
Yes.
horrible example to set for children,
Oh,
right?
100%.
But if you want to make it work, then freaking fight for it. Dig in. Get willing to get uncomfortable with each
100%.
other.
Yes.
Because I think if you can begin to say, hey, this is where we're at. This is a normal place to be at. It is okay that we feel like we're missing each other. How can we start to find ourselves and how can we start to find each other? What
Yes.
do we want this life to look like? What do we want the rest of this life we have together to look like?
Yes.
What's on our bucket list? You
Exactly.
know, do
Yeah.
you love what you're doing? Are you passionate about what you're doing? As for
Right.
me, I feel like this. I feel stuck or I feel, you know, tired or, you know, we gain weight. You know,
Yeah.
are we happy? Are we content with the way we're treating our bodies? You
Right.
know, because what we could get away with when we were in our 20s, I remember my husband and I were laughing the other day. I was like 19 years old. I was a female Marine when I met my husband, and I survived on Pepsi, beefaroni, Snickers bars, and alcohol, right? And managed to stay a whopping, you know, 130 pounds, right?
Right, yeah.
You know, if I ate like that at 55,
Oh,
I can
forget it.
guarantee you
A
what would
nice
my life look like, right? Ex
250.
easy, easy. So, you know, being able to take an inventory together and just be able to be like, okay, if this is what this next season of our life is looking like, how do we do this together? How do we
Yes.
stay open and communicate about it? How do we laugh with each other about it or cry with each other about it?
100%.
Right?
100%.
And like you were talking about how, you know, you had some health issues going on and you found an herbalist that really helped you narrow down how you should be eating the supplements you needed in your body to start to combat some of the things that were happening inside of your body.
Right.
The same thing happens with our hormones, right? During this time of
100%.
life, do we need a higher intake of protein? Do we need less caffeine and less alcohol? How sad is that? But you
Yeah.
know, like, you know, do we need different vitamin supplements? Do we need hormone replacement therapy? You
Yeah.
know, there's so many beautiful things that if you get the right physician or the right specialist, they can help you. And that's the same thing with our marriages. It's
Yes.
okay to be like, it's not a failure
Yay.
to want to work on your relationship. It doesn't mean that you screwed something up, done something wrong.
Right.
I think it's a mark of a healthy relationship that you can get to
100
midlife and
percent.
go, this is a part of our evolution.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Let's
100
not just let
percent.
it happen to us, right?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, because I feel like, you know, we can either choose to be a victim to midlife and to the changes that are coming and into this season, or we can choose to be proactive about it.
Yes.
right?
100%.
Like, how are we going to handle mom and dad aging? You know, can we tolerate caring for them? What do they want? Do we have the right legal documents in place to help our family members, right? Let's talk about it. Let's not just pretend death doesn't happen. Let's not just pretend our kids aren't going to grow up and go away. And a lot of times we think getting them through the teen years is going to be the tough part. Sometimes getting them through their 20s is the tough part, especially in an economy like the one we're seeing right now. Right?
Oh, 100%.
And just avoiding these conversations, burying them, pretending they're not happening, isn't going to make it any better.
And I think sometimes, your partner or your spouse just needs an ear sometimes. Sometimes I feel
Oh,
too,
yeah.
sometimes people talk too much, and sometimes the best medicine is silence. And just to, because sometimes people just want someone to listen to. They need to vent. They need to get it out of their system. Because like we said, men and women handle stress differently. And, men are more masculine and they find, opening up sometimes is a sign of weakness. But if you
Yeah.
can, have a spouse or a partner that you feel comfortable with, that you could just, open up and share your stresses, your worries, your fears with, and for the other person not to have to say anything or not to have to give advice, but just to listen. And then maybe say, I have some thoughts. Would you like to hear what I have to say? And if they say, no, I really don't want to hear anything right now, don't take it as an offense. They're just not ready. And maybe just let them speak, let them get it out of their system. And if they want your advice, they'll ask for it. And that was something it took a long time for me to learn, is that people, if they want your advice, they'll ask for it. If they don't want your advice, then don't offer it, or and don't just give it. Sometimes people are just looking to express themselves because they need to just get it out of their system. And sometimes the best thing you could do is just to be a listener and not a speaker.
I so see that. And you were talking about the way that men communicate and women communicate. And I think about me and my best friends together, right? Even like when you and I are talking, even though we just met, it's like we can talk and we can relate and we can go, oh my gosh, I totally see you there. Like, oh, me too. And women have a rhythm and a flow to the way we can affirm one another. But I don't know about you, when I get in a situation where I'm sharing something going on with me and a woman starts going, well, you should do this, don't you immediately just go,
A 100%.
right? It's like, hey, you don't know me.
I was just
Like,
going to
right. Or
say
like,
that. Yes.
yeah, right. And I find even sometimes in my marriage, or even, you know, if I'm sharing something vulnerable and the response comes in with, here's how you should be doing this or fix it like this, my response sometimes is, wait, you're not hearing me, or you're not getting it. And I think I've noticed with my husband particularly, where I like a lot of affirmation during communication, he prefers me to, you know, kind of shut up and just sit and receive, because it's harder for him to get in a situation where he feels comfortable to share. He needs me to give him space to share, you know, and to, you know, to realize that it's not as easy as it is for me as a woman. You know, it is a much more challenging thing for him to even feel safe to bring his emotion to the table.
No, I think it is very hard for a man to bring their emotion to the table. And I feel sometimes men, seem to, whether they do or not, they seem to act like they get over it a lot quicker. Like, okay, I just expressed how I felt. You just expressed how you felt. Okay, it's a done deal. Let's forget about it and move on. And I'm like, for me, being an empath, empathetic person, it doesn't just go away like that. It takes time for me to heal in any situation where my husband could just talk about something, forget about it, and just move on. I don't know where he stores it, but he just moves on. And I'm not there yet. I might not be there for a month. I might not be there for a week. I might not be
Right.
there for a couple of months. It just takes time. It depends on the situation and how much hurt or how much emotion is it involved. But, sometimes I don't know if it's because of a men and women thing or just the type of personality you are, because that could be it too. You could just have a personality. But I did notice when going through a midlife crisis, my husband did become more sensitive to a lot of things he wasn't sensitive in his younger days about. So then I had to learn how to take a step back and watch how I said things, because it was no longer like we're in our 20s and 30s. He was taking things differently now. So I had to take observation of that. And then I had to really learn how to reconstruct things. And I think too, it's great to have a relationship or a marriage counselor, because they can pick up on these things and they can direct you and even show you how, you can role play and how you could have a constructive, conversation without hurting each other's feelings.
100%. And finding somebody that a couple can go to that is an unbiased third party is so helpful. Because if I were to take an argument that I had with my partner to my best friend, she loves my husband and she loves me and she loves my marriage. But I would say 9 out of 10 times, she's going to kind of have my back, right? Even though she loves him, she's going to be like, what a jerk, And in the good old boys club, right? Guys don't really talk about stuff with each other, about like intimate things going on in conflict with their partners.
No, they don't.
So, yeah, so there's kind of a vacuum. You see all the memes, husbands, oh, joking about this or that, and she doesn't ever listen to me, mom. But you don't really ever see them actually really getting vulnerable and honest about that kind of stuff. And I think it just becomes so important that we find this place where we're like, who could we go to help us navigate this? And I think there's a difference between a marriage or a relationship coach and a therapist or a counselor, right? And there's a clear dividing line. So anytime we're dealing with any type of verbal, emotional, physical abuse, anytime we're dealing with addiction, anytime we're dealing with trauma, those are really key issues where we need to go and we need to have a licensed clinical therapist that is trained in those specialties. What I find so often is couples are dealing with normal, standard negotiation of conflict, understanding, creating a mutual reality and a goal and a vision, navigating shifting sex roles, just navigating change together. Like, and a lot of this is something where you can go to a coach because it's more of a short-term proactive solution. It's more like, okay, this is what is not working for us, and this is what is working for us right now. How can we get what's not working to start working? And so it becomes very like driven and focused. And it's nice to have somebody who can look at your relationship from the outside and speak in. When my husband and I were going through our difficult period, about 5, 6 years ago, we got a therapist. And one of them we went to, I literally walked out, said, I am never going back to her again. And then we tried someone different. And this person called my husband an asshole in the middle of a therapy session. Now, granted, it's always nice to have somebody, take your side, right? You're like, yeah, see? But that isn't helpful, right? It's not helpful. And so what we need is somebody who can come alongside and make two people feel seen and two people feel safe and help couples learn how to create that environment within their own marriage, a place where they both feel safe, where they both feel seen, where they feel like they can be challenged by each other, but they can also receive encouragement from each other. And when we are hurting, that we have a safe place with each other. And I think that those key foundations, I always try to help couples build those pillars first. And then we fill in the blanks of just shooting that relationship into a place where it can really thrive and grow and be the best that it's ever been.
Right. Oh, I agree 100%. I agree 100%. And I think sometimes it takes a couple tries to find the right therapist or the right coach, you know, because it's not always you have to both parties have to feel comfortable with that person. And
Oh, yeah.
that person has to totally have an unbiased opinion for both parties. And, you know, you can't go and call the other one an asshole, even though they might be acting like an asshole. It just doesn't work because now you just lost
Right.
the respect of the man in the relationship,
Right.
and
He's
he's
shut
never going
down
to
now.
listen. Yeah, he's going to
Right.
shut down and never listen to
Yeah.
one word that counselor or that coach or that therapist has to
Yeah.
say.
There
And
was no, you know, and when you go in, like we would walk into a counseling session holding hands with hope that this relationship has something to work with and that there's something to fight for.
yes.
And by the end of a counseling session, I would be in tears and my husband would just be furious and we would leave not able to even hardly talk. Like sometimes we needed to take separate cars and walk away from each other. That
Right.
is not what this is supposed to look like.
No.
And I think a lot of couples in midlife are suffering in silence
Yes. I definitely think
because,
so.
yeah, a lot of these topics are things we don't know how to talk about.
Right.
You know, how do we talk about the fact that sex starts to hurt
Yes.
because my physiology is changing? You know, how do we talk about raging, right?
Right.
Like, because those hormones come and you just feel ragey
Oh
sometimes,
yeah.
right?
Oh yeah.
How do we talk about the fact that, you know, we used to fall asleep cuddling and holding each other, and now when we're cuddling and holding each other, I literally light on fire and start sweating to death,
Right.
right?
A 100%.
You know, how does a husband now talk about the fact he needs stimulation in a new way because his body is changing too?
Yeah.
You know, and you start bringing in all these little pieces of rejection and disappointment that have collected over time when we've been neglecting these
Yeah.
deeper conversations, so that when we get to a situation, let's just talk about sex for just a second. Here's a scenario. You're in bed, you do the things you've always done, and he doesn't stay erect. Okay?
Right.
He's feeling shame now.
Right.
Okay? And what is she feeling? Is there someone else? Am I not doing something right? What did I do wrong? Okay.
Or even
So,
disappointment or frustration, because you know
right.
that those are natural feelings too, you know, and
Yes,
so there's
exactly.
like,
Because you both look forward to this environment, to this remote time. And you and I both know over time, you know, Bill and I were joking the other day, you know, after 35 years, having sex an average of so many times a week, we started kind of calculating. We're like, okay, so we've probably had sex, you know, over like 3,000 times. Wow. You know, you're like, wow, we're actually experts.
yeah, Cole Guinness.
But then you think about that though, and then during a time of transition or pain, or, you know, when we're not communicating and we're not connecting on a deeper level, then you come into a situation like I was just discussing, and you can open entirely a painful wound, right?
Oh, 100%. 100%. And men don't always get it. You know, they don't understand, you know. And, you know, I remember doing a speaking event and I was talking about relationships, but, you know, I really grasped their attention when I started talking about libido because a lot of women lost interest in sex. So
Oh,
their
yeah.
husband still had an interest and they still wanted to have sex. But on their part, they weren't interested and they wanted to be, but they just weren't. So then
Right.
it took them a very long time to get into it. It was more like a job than it was pleasure. So when it feels like a job and it doesn't feel like pleasure anymore,
Yeah.
you kind of lose interest even more so, and you really don't want to do it. And then the marriage, then he's thinking what's wrong on his side. Why doesn't she, you know, feel the way she used to feel about
Right.
me? What's going on? And, you know, those are issues too. But, you know, a lot of it has to do with just a woman not feeling, you know, not being her libido is not the same. And like you said, either she feels dryness and it hurts inside, or she just she's not reaching orgasm anymore and she's having a hard time. There's so many different things that could be going on. And it's hard because men don't always understand from a woman's point of view unless she sits down and really talks to that man and explains. And then for men, right around 39 plus and going up, that's when erectile dysfunction starts to occur and they start noticing change. And that's a very hard thing to go about. I remember I wrote an article on erectile dysfunction. It got 70,000 hits, and it was more so more women hitting it, and then a lot of men started hitting it. But you're never going to get it in a conversation if you're sitting at a table with a bunch of people, because that's something that they're embarrassed to talk about unless you give them a lot of alcohol, and then they might just start joking around about it. But
Yeah, but it's going to be a joke, or it's going to be avoided, or it's going to be like, making fun of that, like limp dick, that kind of like toxic masculine, masculine culture, with each other. There's not that honest willingness to really have the
Support.
discussion. And I've told my husband, I was like, as I got older, gosh, when we were younger, in our marriage, there were times when we were having sex several times a day, for God's sakes, and then you get further down and there's the exhaustion, there's being tired, there's body changes, there's self-confidence changes too. We haven't talked about self-confidence, but when our roles begin to shift, and I know a lot of women in midlife specifically feel like a minimizing of that midlife aged woman, right? You can look in Hollywood and see all the work that's getting done out of just sheer panic of
You're getting
wrinkles and
older,
age, right? Because there's just this diminishment of your vitality and your role and what you have to contribute anymore, right? So there's self-confidence there. And if you're not feeling confident in just your presence, that you matter, that when you show up, you make a difference, that needs to be dealt with, right?
Oh, a
And then
hundred
when you
percent.
start to look at your body, and no matter what, gravity is happening to us.
Oh, and your estrogen level, if it goes down or your metabolism is slowing down, which it will, you wake up one morning and you have hips that you didn't have before. So then you start getting self-conscious and you start looking in the mirror. And your husband might not mind, but you mind, and it plays a role on your self-esteem,
So then you're making love, and what are you thinking about? Rather than thinking about the beauty of how you're reacting and relating to one another, you're thinking, oh my gosh, does my stomach look like a female tiger right now?
Yeah, exactly. Do I look like I'm in my first try?
Oh my gosh. My husband made a joke one time about, because I told him, I said, gosh, my tummy just feels like, a female tiger, for crying out loud. And he was like, just think about a tiger, Penny. He's like, the male lion's laying around, lazing, licking himself, and the women are off hunting, and they have that tummy. And what do you, he goes, nobody's like, ooh, look at her tummy. They're like, wow, she is a badass. Look at the way she just took down that deer, So I think being able to, look and reframe what midlife means to us, and like I said, to take away that sense of this is happening to me and I am a victim of it, and be more like, yeah, this is happening, but I am still able to affect change in my life. I'm able to say, if I strength train, several times a week, and I get out and get some fresh air and get a good amount of fresh breathing energy for a 30, 40 minute walk or jog, oh my God, I feel so completely different.
100%. It's being proactive. It's changing that mindset. It's, by changing certain things in your life, you could really change things around. Like we were talking about, the foods we eat, and that plays a
Absolutely.
huge role. Just getting a little bit of exercise. If you don't feel like you could do a lot of exercise, just 15 minutes of walking around the lake or walking down around your block can make a difference. I went to a functional medicine doctor when all those changes were happening because I didn't know what was going on. And the first time I went to a GYN and they just wanted to put me on birth control. And I looked at them like they were nuts. I'm like, birth control. And then I went to a functional functional medicine doctor, and he did a thorough blood workout, and he said, "My goodness," he goes, "you have barely any progesterone or testosterone left." He goes, "Your estrogen's fine, but you're lacking so many nutrients, and you're deficient in this, and you're deficient in that." And in 3 months, I start to feel a little better after he put me on hormones and after he told me what vitamins I need to be taking and what I should be doing. I changed my eating habits, made sure I had enough of sleep. Like you just, I know, just started exercising, doing yoga, trying to get that stress level down, get that cortisol level down, because that also plays a big role on weight gain too, if for women, you know. And women get so stressed because they wear so many hats. So, you know, it's really a little self-love, a little self-care, looking what you need and just like understanding what your body's telling you.
I completely agree. That is actually when I'm working with a couple, especially in midlife, and we're starting to tackle transition. The very first thing we do is start to look at, do I even know how I feel about my own life right now? Because so many of us have gotten so buried in the shoulds, have tos, and what's expected of me, and in the people pleasing, that we don't even know what matters to us. I remember when my husband and I were going through our time, and he's like, "What do you even want?" I'm like, "I don't even freaking know." Like, I knew I wanted to be married to him. I knew I wanted to be happy, but like in the core of myself, I was like, I don't even know what I want anymore. So, being willing to look at this time of life as an opportunity to shine a spotlight on the things that should and deserve to be addressed, to give us a chance at really feeling fulfilled in our life and ultimately in our partnership, so that going forward, we impact our children and our communities in a more powerful way, and that we can feel good about how we show up in life.
Oh, definitely. And I think when if you try to talk to your partner or your spouse, not, you know, the other person sometimes gets defensive and they immediately lash back out like you're in debate class in college. And that's not what it's about, you know. And it's like, so maybe it's the way people phrase things. They should really think about the personality of the person and then try to rephrase it. But people do sometimes, even if you mention anything or you say anything immediately, for whatever reason, the other person will get defensive and feel like they have to defend themselves. And you're not looking for it to have an argument, or you're not looking for them to defend themselves. You're just looking to bring it to the table so they're aware.
Have you ever heard of the Gottman Institute?
I've heard of it, yes.
So, one of the things that they teach, and when you just said that, it made me think of, when you bring something up and you're not being mindful of how your partner is going to receive what you're sharing, or vice versa. What starts to happen is we begin to get disappointed, right? So there's this arc, and the Gottman Institute teaches about this, and it's phenomenal. But basically, we begin to get disappointed because, number one, we had an expectation, right? So we had an expectation that when we brought this to our person, they'd receive it a certain way, and they didn't. And so then we're disappointed. So the first step right there is I had an expectation that I didn't communicate to my partner. And then they disappointed me because I didn't communicate what I needed or what I was expecting in the first place. And then over time, without dealing with that, without resolving that, without fixing what we just created, then that becomes a resentment. And then over time, that becomes contempt. And you can see it if you watch relationships, you can watch a couple and you can know where they're at on that continuum. Are you still down here? Well, I'm just really disappointed because I and he, right? Like you fill in the blank. And you can notice the way a woman specifically, or a man, actually both, the way that they communicate when it's crossed over into resentment. Because it's, well, you know how men are. You know what I mean? There's a bite, there's a hook. It's not hurt, it's not frustration. It's now there's a bite, there's a venom in there. And that left long enough unresolved becomes that contempt. And that is the number one marker for divorce, according to the Gottman Institute.
Oh, I believe
So
it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, couples need to be vigilant. Like the way we show up for each other has never been more important than it is right
Right.
now. 'Cause
100%.
when we were younger, we were growing up, we were learning. It was a natural time for that. We were
Yes.
busy. Like, remember, we talked about that was a season of acquisition, right? So
Yes.
we're busy acquiring, we're busy doing, we're showing up at all the games and the plays and the, you know, running the
Yeah.
gauntlet, right? Now in midlife, when things start to slowly change and it gets quiet,
Right.
that's the trigger right there. Because any of these disappointments and resentments and hidden contempt that weren't resolved because we could hide it in the busyness of our youth, in that silence that starts to come into later years, we can't hide it anymore.
Right. And I think one other thing that I want to address before we start to close is that one important aspect, I think, too, is that people who tend to be people pleasers and they're in a healthy relationship and maybe they're having problems, you can't think about what's going to please my parents? What would my parents do? You know, oh my God, if I make this choice, I know that's not a choice that mom or dad would make and my mentor growing up. And, I feel, that it's not, I shouldn't do it because they didn't do it, you know? And sometimes we take the foundation where we grew up and we bring it into our own household and it doesn't work. You know, where you have a different, you're married to a different person, you're a different person to begin with. Just because you grew up in an environment and you were taught a certain thing doesn't make you the same product. As you grow older, you become your own person and you have your own needs, your own wants, and you look at life differently. So then you have to kind of respect them, but push them out of the picture and really focus on the person across from you and and think about who am I? What do I need? What do I represent? And the person I love that's sitting across from me, who are they? What do they need? What do they represent? And forget about everyone around you and just make it about the two of you.
Yeah, and that is 100% the right answer, the right way to go about it. And choosing to get a therapist or a counselor or a coach, it's just smart.
Yeah.
You know, you and I are both businesswomen. I've been an entrepreneur most of my adult life. And if I didn't have business coaches along the way, I can't imagine where I would be.
Right.
And, you know, if I hadn't realized I wanted to transition out of photographing love stories and I wanted to start helping couples stay married, I
Right.
had to go get education and support and find out how to do that.
Yeah.
This is no different. This is just that time. We're in a transition. Let's make the most of it. Let's
Yeah.
go all in and be willing to get help where we need it
Right.
so that we can move forward. And,
Exactly.
you know, I'm so grateful to be able to sit and have this conversation with you. And, you know, I know how many couples suffer in silence.
Oh yeah, there's so many couples that suffer in silence. And I think that's the worst thing because communication is key. And I think that's one of the things that destroy relationships is that they don't say anything. And also that causes so much stress, so much resentment, so much repressed emotions. And if you were able to express it, how many times so many marriages could be probably saved because you sometimes even marriages that fall out of love can fall back into love. Because
Oh, 100%.
we forget, we forget why we fell in love with this person in the first place. And then, things change, you change, and then, and maybe the fire isn't kindling like it used to. You have to go back and you have to reanalyze everything and then think about what can I do to save this marriage? Why did I fall in love with this person in the first place? What made the sparks happen in the beginning? And why aren't those sparks lit up on high flame now? What can I do about it?
You know, because the ultimate mark of success in a relationship isn't that you stay married. You know, like we were talking about our parents' age.
Yeah.
You know what? You just stayed married. You know, you didn't really, you just suffered. You just stopped talking. You just, oh, he goes bowling and she goes to book club, right?
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
you start living separate lives.
Yes.
So the mark of success for a relationship isn't that they stay married.
Right.
It's that they want to be in that relationship
100%.
and that they
100%.
want to show up, you
Yes.
know? And the difference I think with that does come in just, you know, we were talking earlier about how men communicate. And someone once told me, and I have found this to be true for myself, that
Right.
men communicate better side by side moving, and women communicate better face to face.
Oh, really?
And I know 100%, my husband and I walk together and hike together a lot, or we kayak with each other because we live up here. And, you know, we're in kayaks next to each other, paddling through the ocean, or we're hiking along trails, and communication just happens. But silence happens and it feels more natural, you know, where I think as women, we can sit and face each other and just talk it out. I think like being able to do what you said, just respect where your partner's at, what they need, what you can provide, and then be willing to go there.
Right, 100%, 100%. And I think too, if a marriage doesn't work out and you're in a marriage that you're so miserable and so unhappy that it's making you feel depressed and you're starting to put up walls that shouldn't be there, not every marriage is meant to work out,
I
unfortunately.
agree. I
And
agree.
sometimes it can cause more damage. It causes more damage for the people in the relationship. And if you have children, like you said earlier, what example are you setting for them? Because it's shown even in statistics that a lot of times daughters will find somebody similar to their fathers and they'll find someone similar to their mother. And if they're in a relationship and they constantly saw fighting and they constantly saw verbal abuse or any type of abuse, they're going to look for, subconsciously, that's the type of relationships that they're going to be drawn to, whether they want it or not, unless they get help, unless they realize that it's not a good thing. But the majority, that I think it's over 70% of people come from dysfunctional families. It's a cycle that needs to be broken
You
so
know,
badly.
when I was in school, it was explained to me in such a beautiful way, and that is that, you know, every baby arrives onto this planet with needs, but they don't come with a manual.
Yes. I wish
And
they
so,
did.
right? Oh, me too. I would have done such a better job. But, you know, these parents, with the tools that they have been given, do the best they can do. But it is impossible to meet that child's needs exactly as they need it from the time they were born. So I'm not one of those people who's on a witch hunt to blame your parents for all of your flaws, right? So, but what I can say is when you were a little one trying to get your needs met, and when they didn't get met, you had to learn how to compensate to get your needs met. That doesn't change. So when you grow up and you get into your adult relationship, those same compensation and coping tools are the ones you employ in your relationship. And unless you're willing to negotiate that and learn what that means, I remember when my husband and I were going through our difficult time and I was getting therapy. I looked at my husband and I'm like, oh my God, I am absolutely terrified I'm going to be abandoned. And him and my, you know, I told my best friend and they all looked at me like, duh. Like they knew that that was my deep fear. I wasn't aware that that was my deep fear. And I wasn't aware where that came from and how it was impacting the way I shared my needs, the way I showed up when I was hurting, the way that I reacted during conflict. All of that was related to, I'm afraid you're going to leave. Right. And I learned also in that process that my husband had a different way of viewing the world. He was more concerned he was going to get engulfed or overtaken. So he would step back. So he responded in a certain way. And learning that, oh my God, everybody shows up into the world. And most of the time, opposites do find one another. And it's intended to help us grow and help complete us. It's a big challenge, but when you learn the keys to it, it's not as scary.
100%, 100%. Now, if you had to take today's conversation and you wanted to emphasize on some important factors, what are some of the things you'd like to emphasize today to our listeners?
I think speaking, let's just say we're speaking to couples in midlife who maybe are feeling some kind of a distance or a chasm opening up. Maybe they feel like, gosh, have we fallen out of love? Are we growing apart? I think I would say a couple things. First and foremost, what you are feeling is 100% normal. Every couple, despite our Instagram culture with all of our pretty highlights always showing, and our crazy doesn't show on social, right?
No.
We tuck that in nicely.
Yes.
It's 100% normal to find yourself in seasons. There's nothing in life that doesn't have seasons.
Right.
You're going to have seasons of closeness and seasons of distance, seasons of conflict and seasons of peace in your
Right.
relationship. So, number one, distance and struggle in midlife specifically is extremely normal. Every couple I know has gone through some version of a midlife crisis, every
Right.
one of them. Second thing I would say is the one thing that you could do to help yourself and help your partner is to take the time to seriously ask yourself, what do I really want and what do I really need in this time of my life?
Right.
How have I evolved and changed? I am not the same at 55 as I was when I was 25, 35, 45.
Yes.
How am I different and how have my needs changed? And for heaven's sakes, have I told my partner those things?
Yes.
Have I explained, gosh, when I was in my 20s, I felt like this about things. I needed more of this and that.
Right.
Then when I was in my 30s and 40s, I kind of felt like this. But now as I'm approaching, my 50s, I feel like I need these things.
Yeah.
Have we told our partner what we need, not
Right.
only from them, but from life? You know, where are we
Yeah.
feeling disappointments? Where with ourselves? You know, where
Right.
are we being vulnerable
Yes.
about our own self? So do that work.
Right.
And third, I think I would say if you both want this relationship to get back on track, to thrive, if you're both hungry for that connection again and just don't know how to get it back,
Yeah.
and you try these little steps I've talked about and it's not enough, then get a therapist or a coach.
Right.
I mean, I would obviously love to market myself. Anybody can find me on Rooted and Risen Coaching, rootedandrisencoaching.com. And you can request a free consultation with me. I'm happy to meet with couples. I do virtual work. I work all over the country, obviously. I can also do weekend intensives where I can come to a couple and I can work with them in their environment, so I can help them through an intensive time. A lot of times, a midlife crisis can involve an infidelity. It can involve a near divorce experience. It can involve those times when the emotions get to running so high, you just don't know which end is up. In
Yeah.
times like that, I recommend that, they go with more of an intensive approach so you can get help right away.
Right.
So those would be my recommendations, Stacey.
I love it. I love it. Well, this has been amazing, Penny. I am so glad you came on the show today. This is something that's so important. People need to, people crave to learn how to deal with relationships, especially midlife crisis relationships, because we're always, this is a time where we struggle with a lot of different things and trying to understand each other, our spouse, our partner, and going through the things that we're going through at the same time can be very stressful. And it takes work, it takes communication, it takes understanding, it takes love, it takes patience, and these are things that we all have to, contribute into our relationship. We live in a world that everyone is in a go-go society and everybody wants fast results, but it doesn't happen that way. But if you
No.
really, really want something and you really want this relationship to work, and if you look back and you thought about how it used to be, and if you really want to continue it and try to maybe see what you could have with that person again, it's worth it. Because when you go through midlife, it so many changes happen to both parties, and it's just taking the time to understand, taking the time to reconstruct your relationship. And it is an exciting time because now you have a new relationship. Just like when the children leave the house and you go through the whole period of, empty nesters syndrome. And now it's the two of you. And now it's, or even if the children are in the house when you're going through midlife crisis, you are in a different part of your life now. So instead of looking at it negatively, think about it as
Yes.
a new journey, a new path, and new hopes and expectations, and think of it as something positive. And it's amazing what good things could happen.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I've had such a good time.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much for being on the show, Penny. I hope you'll come
Thanks.
back.
Thank you. I hope you'll have me.
Have a great day.
You too.